Well, Bethany came and got Gabe last time I preached and left him up. It was disastrous. I'll tell y'all one on him real quick. It has nothing to do with the sermon. I just like the story. The other day, Friday was his birthday. I said, "Buddy, what do you want for your birthday?" And he said, "Dad, I just want you." Man, that's sweet. He said, "But you're too fat to fit in a bag." Thanks, buddy. He's truthful. All right, we'll be talking about Jesus Christ as the light tonight. And actually, where Terry was reading through there in verse 32 of Hebrews chapter 10, it says, "But call to remembrance the former days in which, after you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of afflictions." And so we're going to talk about that illumination tonight, about being illuminated in Jesus Christ, who is the light. So if you turn with me to 1 John chapter 1, we'll read where we'll start. 1 John chapter 1, and then we'll look through several passages tonight. It'll kind of be like a Bible study. 1 John 1, and we'll be starting in verse 5. We could have started many different places in the New Testament, or even the Old Testament, concerning God and Jesus Christ as the light and being illuminated, but this is where I chose to start tonight for us. So 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 says, "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin." Lord, we thank you for your word. We ask that you would meet with us here tonight, Lord, that we would draw nigh to your teaching that you've given us in this blessed book, Lord, that we would have faith in it, have faith in you, Lord. You'd open our hearts and our minds to your word, Lord, hear from your word, and that you would that you would meet with us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, here in 1 John 5, we see verse 5, we see here in verse 5, the Bible tells us that God is the light and that in him is no darkness at all. In verse 6, it goes on to say that we cannot walk in darkness. In verse 7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Now, once you are saved, once you have been born again, once you have been illuminated, as Hebrews told us there, once you are saved and you are in that light, our desire then should be that we continue to walk in that light. Our desire should be that what we do with our lives is to walk in the light that is Jesus Christ, walk in the light of his word that he's given to us, walk in the light that he has given us to shine forth ourselves. So there's a lot of light that we should be adhering to and a lot of light we should be focusing on. And that should be the desire of the Christian who's saved. Now, I don't know how to say this without sounding, well, just like me, but I'm going to anyway. I really like light. Now, that's not saying that anything special about being saved or anything. I just got to thinking about the fact of light after I got saved, probably more so than before. But let me give you a few examples. I really like summer. You know what I like? I like the fact that the days are long and it's light. I love it. I love that I can get up at 4:30 and it's already dawn. The light is breaking over the hills there where we're at our house, and I can already see. I go outside, and that's probably my favorite time of the day is the morning light when it comes up. I love the fact that I can then be out at 8:45 at night, and it's still light outside. I love it. That's my favorite time of the year. I used to like fall. I used to like winter, but I don't like the darkness anymore. Now, I'm not saying that anything spiritual. I think I'm just getting older. I just don't like the cold. I don't like the dark. I don't like the damp. But I love the light. And if I think that's anything in this life, can you imagine what the afterlife will be when we get to be in the light of his presence? But I love summer. I mean, I do. I love the warmth of it. People always complain, well, it's so hot. I like it. I really do. People, you know, it's just so bright out. I got a hat. I got sunglasses. And man, I love it. What else about lights? Well, you can ask my wife. I like flashlights. I mean, what guy doesn't like flashlights? She said, "Where are you going with this?" I'm just talking about light. I like flashlights. I almost bought our spotlight. I really like our spotlight. Now, we don't spotlight deer or anything, and we could, but we don't. But I like our spotlight. Something happens at night, I don't take out a mag light. I don't take out one of them little flashlights. You can see 10 feet. We get our spotlight out. And I don't know how many candlelight that thing is, but, man, you can light it all the way up to the parkway at our house. I love it. I like that. When we go fishing, I like taking lights. We went the other night. Donnie likes when I take lights. We went fishing the other night. And, of course, there's lights there on the dock we fish at. But if you don't have a light close, you ain't tying a hook. So I enjoy that light. Bethany making fun of me because I've got an old Jeep. It's a 98. It ain't worth much. But I'd like to put some lights on it. I mean, it's got headlights, but I'd like to put some lights on the top. She said, honey, that's redneck. I mean, you all seen it. I just like them. I just like light. There's a lot of things you can do with light that you can't do with darkness. You say, what's the point? Light dispels darkness is the point. I like light because it gets rid of the darkness. Now, that's I'm just talking in a fleshy sense. I'm just talking about light. But in a spiritual sense, it is so much better. That light that you, once you are saved, that light that we have in Jesus Christ, that light that is Jesus Christ, dispels the darkness that we all once were a part of and really can fellowship with still if we're not careful. And if you pay mind to the pastor's sermon this morning. Now, think about dark for a minute. We've talked about light. I've been kind of silly with my love of things that are light-inducing. I like lighters too, in case you're wondering. But think about the dark. What's one of the first things you were afraid of as a child? It's the dark. It's not rational. Gabe is 5 now. He turned 5 on Friday. Scared to death to go back to my bedroom. It is 15 feet down the hall. Sometimes there's even a light on in the bathroom. There's a little night light. But he's not afraid because that room back there is well lit. He's not afraid because of the distance. He's afraid of the dark. Listen, I can remember there are times now. I'm a 35-year-old man. There's places you'll go sometimes and it's dark out. And I'm going to go. I'm going to die trying going. But you ever get that little bristle on the back of your neck? Did I see something? What was that? I don't know. It was in the dark. There's just something about it I don't like. Still don't. So we have a fear of the dark, a natural fear of the dark, but at the same time, our flesh has a love of the dark. It's a strange connection we have. We'll go into that in a minute. See, and the world has a love, it has a fascination with the dark. I mean, you think about it. Think about what's big every fall? Haunted houses, man, as many as you can find. Even on our own, we looked and sought out haunted houses as teenagers and young adults. And what else? What about movies? You ever think about how many movies or books or video games have to do with dark things? That have to do with the dead or the undead or all the spooky things? There is such a fascination, such a drawing to that. The body wants to be scared, but it doesn't want to be scared, but it does. It has a drawing towards that darkness. You see it with people's fascination with the occult and with Ouija boards and with vampire novels and with the undead and with all those things. And mankind, I mean, you want to make a mint? I read a story one day about a lady who is a millionaire now. You know how? She wrote some vampire novels. And you say, she wrote some cheap, quick ones on Amazon. That's the only place she published them, was on Amazon. And they're just little bitty things. And she had so many people just looking for that craze, she became a millionaire from writing those little things. People have a drawing towards that darkness. And so, as we saw this morning, and we'll see it again real quick, there is a distinction between dark and light. You say, man, you teach high school? Yeah, I do. But there is. There's a distinction between dark and light. Look over at 2 Corinthians chapter 6. We were here this morning, but we're going to look at it again in case you missed or in case you're asleep. 2 Corinthians 6, look at verse 4. What did I write down here wrong, brother? 14. Who knows? 14. I left off a 1. Verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? There is no communion. There's a difference. There's a separation between the two. We call one day and we call one night. There's a distinction. I hope I never forget. When I first got saved, not too long after, I went to a quote-unquote Christian music festival. And at this thing, there was a lot of quote-unquote Christian music. And this was a place, it was over in Illinois, and we went and camped out there, and I mean, it was a big to-do and whatnot, and they had a lot of tents set up there for you go in, you could buy stuff, and different groups had their tents set up and whatnot, and there was this one tent that was the Christian goth tent. And I mean, I wasn't saved long, and before I got saved, I was kind of curious into what the whole goth thing was and all that, and but I knew walking by that place, I was like, this thing just doesn't add up. I mean, I got saved and Jesus Christ is the light, and I'm moving from that darkness, and I was an idiot. I'll just say that. I knew nothing, but I knew there was something just that didn't make sense. We were to move away from those things, not towards those things. We were to embrace the light and the giver of life, not darkness and death and all those things going on. And I thought, man, there's a difference between these things. But it's kind of one of those Isaiah 5:20 things. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. And so so I didn't go in the tent. In case you're wondering, I didn't get it by any of their stuff or anything. But with the Lord with that light, he can dispel all that darkness. And so you wonder with folks like that, well, maybe they just aren't saved. Maybe they just haven't got into it. I don't know. But look at Psalm 139 for a moment. Now, this is one of the first passages that I ever clung to as a newborn believer, as a newborn Christian. Because when I got saved, like I said, I was interested. I was kind of curious about some of the things, some of the works of darkness, some of the occult, some of that stuff. And I was curious about those dark things because those things have been pumped into my life the whole time I grew up. I mean, if you think about the entertainment that you grow up with and the things that are put, I mean, those things are interesting to an unbeliever. Those things are interesting to a young person. Those things are, that's why they sell so many of those books and sell so many of those videos and so many of those video games. And so I was interested in the darkness, but I'll tell you now that even though I was interested in those things of darkness, I felt hopeless with them. I felt like there was no, I felt like I want to embrace this thing because there's no way out of it. But I was wrong. And Psalm 139, specifically verses 11 and 12, the Bible here says, if I say, surely the darkness shall cover me. And that's where you get with darkness. You just, finally, that thing's going to envelop you. That thing is going to own you. The Bible goes to say, though, even the night shall be light about me. How can the night be light? Well, read verse 12. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. You see, with God, with Jesus Christ being the light of the world, there is no darkness. And so if you are saved, you have light about you all the time. And you have that light living in you. You are a part of that light that is Jesus Christ now. You are saved, you're born again, you're a child of God. And he is that light, and so you have access to the Savior who is that light. And you can have it all the time. So what I want you to see now that you're saved, if you're here and you're saved tonight, that you now have the opportunity to glory in Jesus Christ as he is that light. So we can look at Jesus Christ, we can look at the fact that he's the light, and we can glory in that. And better than that, we can give him glory in that. But isn't that hard to do sometimes? I mean, just appreciate him for the fact that he's the light. I mean, if you really stop and you pray on that thing and you think about that thing, it's pretty impressive. But just in passing, we can't give it the honor and the glory that we want to just by talking about it. But if you pray and think about that thing about Jesus Christ and him being the light and how powerful that is and how all-consuming that is and how just wonderful it is, it's something that you can dwell on and get a blessing out of. Look over at John chapter 1, and we can, of course, see a good definition, a good layout of Jesus Christ being the light here. Probably the best place in the Bible to do that. It would be hard to talk about Jesus Christ as the light and as the light of the world without seeing John chapter 1. John chapter 1 and verse 6 says this: "There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light." Notice the capital L there. "That all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light." Of course, we know he's talking about Jesus Christ. Verse 9, "That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him. And amazingly, and the world knew him not." So here we have the light of the world who was in the world, and the world was made by him, but the world knew him not. Here you have a dark world, and you have a light shining. In fact, that light that is shining made that world. But the world doesn't know him. Isn't that strange? Isn't that strange? Now, we'll worship the creature. We'll worship the darkness even. We'll worship even the deeds of darkness. But not the Creator, and not the one who is light in that dark world. But brethren, when you finally see the light, that's one of the reasons I think people like Amazing Grace. "Once I was blind, but now I see." I mean, to see the light in Jesus Christ, not in ourselves, not in the church, not in anything but Jesus Christ. To see that light when we were in darkness and when we knew him not, and then there's a light shining. And to know that light, listen, that's a greater blessing than we can put into words. Look at John 8 while we're in John. Look over in John 8. John chapter 8 and verse 12. The Bible here says, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." I don't know how else to say it than amen, thank you, Lord, praise God, that we don't have to be in darkness, that he has rescued us from darkness, that he has kept us from darkness, that he will keep us from darkness, that we don't have to be a part of the darkness of this world, because he is the light, and he has made it so that we can be in that light. Read it again. "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." We live in a dark world, brethren, and it is darker every day. And I know many of you all can relate. Sometimes you're on the job. Sometimes you're with the family. Sometimes you're just out in public. Man, that's all you can say. There is just some darkness. That's just all there is. You read the news, you see something come across the news on TV, on the internet, whatever. Thank God I'm part of the light. Thank God I'm in the light because Jesus Christ is the light. That's all you can say to that. All you can do is praise God for that and praise the Lord for that, because otherwise we would be just like the other masses in darkness. Now listen. We're going to talk about, we talked about a rescue of the perishing. There are enemies and enemies of God. I mean, if you're unsaved, that's just where you stand. There are those that are adamantly against God. And there's a lot that needs saved that can be reached. And there's a fine line between who's who sometimes. Again, what's amazing about this Jesus Christ being the light of the world is the fact that the world doesn't know him, and even more so, often he's rejected because he is the light. Yep. Now, here we have darkness, we have this dark world, and we have a light shining, and people don't want him because he is the light. But we know why. If you've spent any time in your Bible, you know where I'm going, John chapter 3. We know why people reject that light, that is Jesus Christ. And the Bible plainly says it here in chapter 3, verse 19. In John chapter 3, verse 19, the Bible says, "And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." So here we have the light of the world who created the world, and men don't know him, and then men reject him when they see it. Why? Because their deeds are evil. What is that? What's that saying? All that's saying is that men choose their evil deeds, wickedness, over the light of the world. You ever done it? You ever done it as a saved man? Of course. You know, we see that and we say, how could you reject the light of the world? How could you reject salvation? Most of us reject some of that light every day as Christians. The truth that He's given us through His Word, for example, none of us follow it truly and wholly. Holy as in, like, in all of it. Look at it again. He that believeth, verse 19. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. You know what people hate? Being reproved. People hate being corrected and told what to do right. Don't believe it? Have some kids. You know, my kids hate worse than anything? Being corrected and told they were wrong. Amen. And then here's how you do it right. I mean, old dad. Not mean, old dad, all the time. Right. Often it's just dad trying to teach you right. Amen. Same with the Lord. Ain't mean, old Lord. Lord is reproving darkness because it's evil. Amen. It's evil. Ain't mean, old Lord. It's good Lord. Amen. It's the good Lord helping us out. But that is the way of man. Now, you want to know the power? Again, we're glorying in the fact that Jesus Christ is the light. We can glory in the fact that He is the light that came to save us. We can now glory in the fact that Jesus Christ reproved that darkness. And through that, we don't have to live in darkness. Now, we also want to see the power of that light. Look over at Revelation 22. Revelation 22. This is one of those passages when I first saw it many years ago. It was just, wow, that's an amazing passage. Revelation 22 and verse 2 says, in the midst of the street of it, talking about there by the throne of God, and on either side of the river was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him, and they shall see His face, and His name shall be in their foreheads. Verse 5. And there shall be no light there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Look at a companion passage over here in Revelation 21. Same page, shouldn't even turn back. 21, and look at verse 22. The Bible here says, and I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it, and the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. So when we get to heaven, when we are with Jesus Christ, when we are with God the Father, when we are there in their presence, don't get to use a spotlight. No need for a headlamp. No need for any lamp. No need for any light. Jesus Christ is the light. That thing's just wild to me. I mean, this thing, you know, not to sound cliche or lame, but that thing's just pretty cool. I don't know how else to say it. Jesus Christ is the light. Then I get to bask in that light. I mean, I'm a saved man, been saved now for about 18 years, and I thank God every moment of that. I thank God for the darkness that He's kept me from as a saved man, but I can't imagine when we die and go to heaven that it's just all the time light, that it is always light there, and that light is radiating from my Savior. Amen. I mean, I can't put it to words. I can't put it to feelings. I can't put it into picture. I can't do any of those things justice. I can just glory in it. So we're going to glory in the light that is Jesus Christ. Now that you're saved and you've been saved and you know what to do, you know that you've been given that light by Jesus Christ, you know what you're supposed to do with that light. Hide it under a bushel? No. I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. I told the guys at the jail on Friday night, I've got a pretty good gig. I do. I get to go to the jail every 2 weeks And either myself or Brother Elwood typically is the one preaching. And I get 12 to 18 guys, usually numbers, and I get to preach the gospel. That's what I do. I mean, do you get paid for it? No. Hey, but yes. No, but yes. Yeah, I don't get cash or anything for it. And then I get to go over to the juvenile a couple days a week. That'd be cool. That's what it used to be. It used to go every Thursday. I get to go a couple days a month, and I got 4 or 5 kids there, and I get to preach the gospel to them. And so I say it's a good gig because they're there, and they're stuck.
Amen.
I mean, it's not good for them, but it's good for me. And I get to go and I get to preach the gospel to them, and they're pretty much stuck listening. I mean, listen, I am a proponent of street preaching. But you got guys whizzing by and flying by this way and honking horns, and we can preach the gospel, but it moves so quick. And I'm a proponent of knocking on doors, even though I'm horrible at it. Because you get to see somebody and you get to give them the gospel. But often in that situation, they're ready to get back to their barbecue or Wheel of Fortune, or is that even on still? I guess it is. Or whatever. And you don't have their attention long. In the jail and the juvenile, so often, they're excited to get out of their cell for 5 minutes.
Amen.
I think it's a great opportunity. And so I'm just putting a plug in there if you're ever interested. The doors are open. So as Christians, as receiving the light of Jesus Christ, it is in our opportunity, as well as obligation, to shine that light as well. Matthew 5, verse 13 through 16 says this. This is where the song originated. "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing but to cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel." No. "But on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Look over at Acts 26. Acts 26. Acts 26, verse 15 says this. Acts 26, verse 15. Here you have the Apostle Paul, and he's giving a part of his testimony before Agrippa, and he says, "And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles in whom now I send thee." Look at it, verse 18. "To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me." So Paul's ministry, his calling in giving the gospel, which we are called to give as well. And if you miss that somewhere between Romans and Philemon, you just read it again. Because I don't know how you did. We are called to proclaim the same gospel that Paul has proclaimed. And what does he say there in verse 18? He says part of that job, part of what happens when he proclaims that gospel, is that it opens their eyes and it turns them from darkness to light.
Amen.
It turns them from darkness to light. Look at 2 Corinthians 4. 2 Corinthians 4. Part of the reason I say that the jail and the juvenile is such a good gig is because I've got new individuals there almost every week. Well, pretty much every time. The juvenile, occasionally the same guys for 3 to 6 months, but most of the time they're cycling. And the jail has new faces every week. I get to give somebody new every week the gospel. Now, I'm going to tell you, most Christians that I know don't do that on their own once a year. So, I'm not a great Christian. We talked about the Christian thing. I'm not a great saved man. It's hard, easy to say Christian. But I've found an opportunity where the Lord's put me in a place where I get to, and therefore I have the opportunity to spread the gospel and give the light of Jesus Christ multiple times a month. Now, is that as awesome as am I doing as great a job as I should be doing? Of course not. I should be doing it every day. It should be my job. But there's an opportunity, and you can do it, and you can be a part of it. That's why I say it's such a good gig. Look at 2 Corinthians 4, and look at 1 through 6. The Bible here says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, this is Paul speaking again, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Excuse me. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach, not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So God has shined that light in our hearts. But do we shine it forth as well? Now, I've talked about a great opportunity I have at the jail and juvenile. But it's kind of a cop-out. Because my job is to shine that light all the time. And you know me, and you know this church. We're not talking about Jesus will see that light, the people will see that light of Jesus in you just by how sweet you are. I'm talking about what Paul said here, preaching the gospel. Giving the gospel to a lost and dying world. Proclaiming the light of Jesus Christ, if you will. Now, I'm not saying this to build a big church. I'm not saying this because you're going to see many converts. I'm not saying this even so that you can think of the rewards that you might get in heaven. I'm saying this because God has called us to proclaim His gospel. He's called us to proclaim the light which is shining forth in the darkness. That's what I'm saying. Listen, you may see souls saved. You may not. I can't tell you the last time we saw one at jail or juvenile. That's not my job, though. I love it when it happens, but our job is to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Isn't that what we glory in? I mean, it's a blessing when somebody gets saved. It should be as much or more blessing just to get to preach the gospel. Now, that sounds, again, cliche, but as the pastor said so many times, when something's cliche, that's because it's true. You should be able to glory in just telling somebody about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But we don't. And so we are called here to give forth that light in the darkness. And so go forth and do that. Now, if you need strength, let me give you some help in this. 2 Peter chapter 1, we've got about 3 more verses. Just hang with me. One of those things they all tell preachers not to do. Tell where you're at. Just a few more verses. Because people start shutting down. My thought is people shut down 20 minutes ago. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19 says this, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. So you want some light? You better open your book. God's given everybody in this room the opportunity to have one, two, or a few Bibles. Better open the book. Listen, I know how life gets. I know how busy life gets. I know how fun life gets. I know how distracting life gets. And I'm preaching to the choir, but please continue to preach to me on it because it's so easy to get distracted. You're going to have to open the book. You got it on your phone. You got it on your radio. You got it on MP3. You got it here and probably a dozen other versions. Not versions. You know what I'm saying? Physical copies. So open them and read them. You want strength in the Word? What's Psalm 119:105 say? Anybody? Psalm 119? I know somebody's got this. Everybody's being shy. Should have offered a dollar. So nobody would take it where they would. Even if there was a 10 hidden in it. I'm waiting for you to offer again. I learned my lesson last time. Elwood held up a dollar. Anybody take it? Nobody would take it. He had a 5 or a 10 hid in it. Psalm 119, 105 says this. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You need some strength. You need some guidance on the light and on being a light. You have it right here. Yeah. Now listen, preaching is wonderful. Prayer is wonderful. But you got to stay in the book. You got to stay in the book. You want the light, you got to be in the book. All right, in closing, look at Ephesians 5. We'll close at Ephesians 5. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8 says this. For you were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Thank God. Walk as children of light. There's your admonition. Being a child of light means that you walk after God. You walk in holiness. And you should be giving off that light as well, proclaiming that light. Verse 9, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship. Oh, here it is again. It's amazing sometimes how that works out. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Now, what happens when you reprove something? They love you. I'm being sarcastic. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. Isn't that the truth? Verse 13, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. I just want to say amen and thank the Lord that he is light and that he rescued us from the darkness, because there was no rescue otherwise.